And welcome to the 11th episode of Rebel Force Alliance, a podcast about Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes mobile game. I am your host, Ednar, and before I even introduce these two weirdos that are with me tonight, we had mentioned this previous week that McMull would be on our podcast tonight. If you hadn't known, there was an issue this week that came up where McMull actually released a video earlier discussing the concerns of the community. And it was very not, how do I put this nicely, it was not shining a bright good star on CG. And McMull is no longer a game changer with CG because of it. And McMull has decided that it was probably best if he didn't come on the show this weekend due to all the backlash. Not on him, but on CG. He didn't want to add any fuel to the fire. He wanted to thank everyone for their support that they've given him, but he thought it was best if he just didn't do any interviews, didn't do really just kind of take some time away from the game, let things die down before he comes back, which is more than fine. I know we all have our sentiments of what happened, so I'm actually going to start with you, Dave. What do you watch the video? What do you mm-hmm. think of the whole situation?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously tough for him. Having talked, we all kind of talked back and forth in a little bit. He's obviously upset. I think it kind of was. He wasn't expecting it. The community certainly wasn't expecting it. I think the community has obviously come out and 100% supported him in the video. I mean, listen, we all watched the video. We agree with almost everything that's in that video, right? It's not like he was groundbreaking with any of the stuff that he had in there as far as things that needed to be fixed or changed, or, you know, that the state of the game wasn't as optimal as it potentially could be. You know, he kind of just made a video and brought to light again a lot of the things that most of the community feels, and it's unfortunate. Like, at the end of the day, I think I feel a very specific way about it. It's obvious that he is upset. I think there's a lot that we won't know, obviously, due to agreements that he has with, you know, EA and or CG, and we may never get the full true story of exactly why everything happened. But what I do know is that if I'm EA or I'm CG and I have a game like this that is extremely popular, that has a really strong, passionate community around it, that has made them more money than they probably ever expected to make, I would be somewhat careful moving forward with the way that I treat some of the more vocal, passionate, visible members of the community, because if nothing else, this community likes to rally around itself, and loves to just kind of build each other up if someone tries to knock them down. And I think it's been nice to see the community respond in the way that it has to McMull. I hope, you know, he continues to make content, even if he's not a game changer. I know the other game changers, you know, will continue to do their thing, and they probably feel a very specific way about this. And who knows, you know, what they'll say in the coming, you know, days or weeks. But, you know, McMull has our support. You know, hopefully we'll get him on the podcast soon regardless.
He's not getting out of it. Yeah. I've already told him that. I'm not letting him get out of it. He gets to take a week or two off, and then he's back.
I know, right? Yeah, even if you can't talk about this particular situation, you certainly, you know, we want to get on here and talk about a bunch. I'm really pissed I can't talk about Ezra. I was going to spend like 45 minutes just talking about Ezra and his Zeta and whether or not I should Zeta him. So I'm a little upset there, but he's got all our support. He's got the community support. And, you know, hopefully we can get him on here soon.
All right. Coleman, I know you have some strong feelings about this, so I'll let you get something off your chest, too.
Yeah, and the first thing is basically I want to say I love the community. I love this Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes community. They're fantastic. You know, coming, like, exactly what Dave said. We all rally around each other. You know, we all see what happens here and there and what else not. But when McMull released this video, I loved the video. You know, it touched on a lot of good points. You know, he was a game changer, like best one of the best guys I've come to know playing this game. I've gotten to know him over the past week now, but a really great guy. In that, I feel it tears me apart on the inside. That this happened. It does. I don't know what exactly to feel and what to do, really. It kind of struck a little chord inside me, because this is, from a business standpoint, it's not a good move at all. He's certainly one of the most popular game changers I think I can probably even think of. Even people who don't play this game, they know of McMull. They've heard his name and everything like that, but I just don't like it. You know, I continue to support McMull through all this. I hope he comes back with a vengeance, makes videos 10 times more popular than anything else that CG can come up with. I just want to see him kind of like backlash at him a little bit through that form, not specifically like, oh God, what's he doing? Like that. I want to see him come back with just a vengeance and make even better videos than what he was able to do before, especially now that he's kind of not getting all those test accounts. I feel like you can get a lot more respect and a lot more what you do with what we have to do. And to see him come back, and hopefully he does that soon, will be fantastic. I wish he was on the show so we could talk about Phoenix Squad, because I got my first date on Phoenix, so I'm happy.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay. All right, you're done. You zutted, yep. Phoenix. I'm pulling the plug on you. Okay. The one thing I will say is, McMull, the support that you've gotten from the community is unheard of in any gaming community I've ever seen. And that's a testament to you. Yep. I joked about this when it first happened, but McMull actually united Reddit.
Yeah, he really
I've
did.
I've never seen after, that before.
No, after all,
it's
after
been
all
rare.
The years,
yeah.
After all the years I've been on Reddit, I've never seen the response like this.
So, but McMull, you're not getting out of it that easy. You're coming back in a few weeks. No ifs, ands, or buts. So we're going to move on, though. So there's still a bunch of stuff to talk about.
Yes.
Well, Empire? First, no, oh. No Empire. So, all right, we'll go off with what normally stuff. Dave, how was your week in the game?
It was good. Well, since I guess the last time I was on, because I missed the last episode, I was able to 7-star Thrawn finally, which was great. So I 7-star Thrawn, took him to gear 12, put him back in arena. So my full arena squad's gear 12, which makes me happy visually, because having one purple in there was driving me somewhat nuts.
Yeah, that OCD.
Yeah, so that's good. So I get a full gear 12 squad in there now, which is great. I've actually been hoarding gear. Most of this past week has just been, you know, farming gear, making sure I could get a ship. I had to get Cassian up to 5-star so I could at least unlock. It's Chimera, right? Do I say it right? I say Chimera, yeah.
Chimera.
So I had to at least Chimera, yeah. I had to at least unlock it. So I unlocked it. I'm not going to obviously get it at 6 or 7 stars because I was farming the Phoenix ships, and then I stopped for, you know, reasons that I needed to spend that the fleet stuff on other stuff. So hopefully I can, you know, get them up to 7 for the next time. But I did farm Cassian's ship up so I could at least unlock it. And yeah, it's mostly been hoarding gear. Kind of waiting to see what the next thing that's coming is, because you always know there is a next thing. We're going to talk about one of those next things shortly. And then just kind of waiting to see like what the right play is, I think it's probably to start maybe preparing myself a little bit for Dark Side, but I do still have work to do on Rogue One and Phoenix. So we'll see. But I'm really happy with that 7-star gear 12 Thrawn, because Thrawn is just so good. So he's my first gear 12 Dark Side, and I'm sure that makes Coleman happy. So
it really does. You have no
there
idea.
There will be many others shortly. I just don't know which ones. So
anyway, so Coleman, how was your week?
First of all, has it been a week since Chimera's been out?
Almost a week. I think it expires. It's done in 5 hours.
Yeah, okay, I guess I get to add on that then. I didn't think about that. I 7-starred Chimera. Then I finished off my Imperial Troopers to gear 12. You know, I'm missing one piece on Stormtrooper, but that'll get done by tomorrow. Then 7-starred Baze, and I got my first Zane on Phoenix Squad, so I'm happy.
Which one?
Sabine.
Oh, you did go to Sabine?
Yeah, it was just too good to ignore. It was wait, and it's so good.
Did it kill you a little inside?
No, because, you know, Phoenix, I feel like they've always, like, out of all of them, I can deal with Phoenix. They're fun to play as, unlike everything else. All the other rebels out there, they're kind of boring.
All right.
Phoenix has this synergy where it's like, okay, cool, I can use these guys and just watch a mass counter go off with a person who has like 4 or 5 exposes now.
Yeah, except she was the one that you had to pull out of the take out of the Thrawn event to beat it. Oh, God, yeah. At least for me.
I beat Thrawn first time, and I used Hera, Sabine, Ezra, Kanan, and Zeb.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't do it on... So I got 7-star Thrawn on both my accounts. And both times I did it, I had to take out Sabine and put in Chopper.
Yeah, I can't understand how I had to use Chopper right, I guess.
Used him. He was a taunt.
Yeah,
basically,
I
used him as a taunt to keep the fractured person alive. That's really all I used him for.
Mm-hmm. So with these, now that since we're on the kind of Zeta, like in Phoenix Squad, what do you guys think that now that you kind of seen what the Zetas do and how they work, do you think anything of them? Do you think a certain order is in place? Are they necessary
for Zetas for everyone or just for Phoenix?
Just for Phoenix.
Just for Phoenix. I personally will not put any on them.
Okay.
Just because I don't see the benefit of it. Just because you have better raid teams out there than them that require less.
Yeah.
They're not arena viable. And do you need them to complete territory battles?
Yeah.
I mean, do they help? Yes. Are they required? No.
No, I mean, obviously, are. I think them with... Listen, if you had them fully Zeta'd, they're going to be outside of Resistance, probably the best territory battle team on Lightside because their survivability is ridiculous. I think the Zetas are great. I mean, the Zetas they gave them are quite good. If you're going to do, like, Chopper didn't get one, everyone else did. So if you're going to go and, like, do them in a particular order, I think Sabine's is great. Kanan's looks very good. Zeb's is quite good. I mean, Zeb, I saw some videos from Game Changers of Zeb doing ridiculous damage with his special.
Yeah.
Even like 50k damage, just wiping people out. And then obviously Ezra's turns his special into one of the better moves in the entire game from a damage perspective. They're very good. And are they necessary? I mean, maybe not. I think the thing, too, is you probably need all of them to really make it work well, which is just kind of the theme of Phoenix, right? Like, you have to put everything into all of them to get that team to really gel and do everything you would want it to. But if you're a new player, I mean, that's a great first team or one of the better first teams you could go for, being that they're eminently farmable. As you get Zetas, they make each other stronger, and all of their Zetas seem to mostly tie together and help each other outside of, I guess, maybe Ezra's, which just makes them do more damage. But, they're good. They're valuable. Are there better Zetas? Yeah. Are there more efficient Zetas? Because, you know, something like Resistance requires one Zeta, and now you've got an amazing team. But I think they were well done. I'd like to do Ezra's myself. I'm thinking, contemplating doing Ezra's just because I really like the character. I think he's super fun, just from the show and just his kit in the game. And he works so well with various factions. I think you spend Zeta on him and you get an incredible damage dealer for, you know, not only Phoenix, but Rebels and Jedi. So he's super versatile from a faction standpoint. So, but I think it's Sabine's makes sense as the first one. You know, Kanan, Ezra, Hera after that probably makes sense. And then maybe Zeb at the end. Because I think if you're going to use Sabine, I guess you could take Chopper out. But Chopper's taunt's super helpful. And his, like, the rework that Chopper got, he's actually pretty legit now. So, you know, he's, don't sleep on Chopper. And I'm not just saying that because I have a gear 12, gear 10, almost gear 11 Chopper. So he's quite good, but I thought the Phoenix reworks were really, really good. And if you've got the Zetas and you want to mess around with a pretty cool faction, they're not a bad idea. It's, you're going to see a lot of benefit in multiple modes with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Are you going to be putting a Zeta? Eh? Eh? Pronounced Zeta, it right. Yeah. I pronounced it right.
That's a big moment for a for a lot of people. Like, I don't know if you're going to timestamp this, but I think you should timestamp it and put it in the description for the podcast that this is the moment where you said it correctly.
Okay.
I agree. So that way, people who are just waiting for it, just go, oh, go straight to that point.
Yep, be like, we got to listen to him use pronunciation correctly. So, Coleman, are you going to use put another Zeta on it? At any of them?
Actually, I'm... Once I get back to 40, because I spent a couple Zetas on people like Gar Saxon and then Sabine, so I'm down to like 25 or no 35 now.
Oh, just down? Okay, ho hum.
Yeah. So I want to make sure I'm back at like 40 before I get my next Zeta. Is probably gonna be Kanan.
Okay. Even yeah, I'm still bitter about that.
I use Kanan a lot and. You know, I have a Qui-Gon Jin Zeta, so I think it'll be useful.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's get into the big news of the week was the rework of the Night Sisters. The rework everyone wasn't really asking for. I mean, yeah. People wanted it, but people wanted the Night Sister rework as much as they wanted the Ewok rework.
Oh, that burns. That's so mean.
True. Sometimes the truth hurts. Ewok jail. Yeah.
Oh, someone's so mean.
The truth hurts. Mean. It hurts.
Yeah.
So, they did introduce one of the new Night Sisters. And that was the one that everyone kind of expected. She's like the biggest Night Sister in the Clone Wars, and that's Mother Talzin. Did I say that right?
You got close. It's Talzin.
Talzin. All right. See, I'm now Mick Mole has me worried about all my pronunciations. I blame him for this.
Thank you, Mick Mole. Thank you for helping this lost soul.
Hate all of you. I will not go back. It is forever the Chimera.
It's all right. I mean, it's not your fault they don't teach English in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Oh, that digs a little.
It's okay. It doesn't dig as much as Aaron Rodgers' collarbone does.
Oh. I'm going to grow a weep into all our Lombardi trophies. How about you?
Oh, I know. All right. You know what? You win. Fine. Yeah. Stop there. I get it.
We didn't throw snowballs at Santa Claus.
No, that's true. You didn't.
Yeah. And
at least
our coach wasn't doing drugs with a stripper.
Yeah. At least it makes him concentrate. I mean, come on.
So, yeah. No. You guys want to bring up Aaron Rodgers and his broken collarbone? I will tear down both your teams.
Hey,
fair enough.
Have some
rules. Yeah. All right, guys. I get it.
Okay. All right. Bye. So we will go on to the Great Mother, as they call her. She is a Night Sister support that has a lot of interesting things we've never seen before. For starters, she has she can inflict a new ability called Plague. I don't even want to call it a debuff because it's almost more than that. But we'll get into what Plague does a little bit later on in her ability. So her basic ability is called Ichor Lightning. It deals special damage to target enemy, and if they were plagued, inflict plague for 3 turns. Deal special damage to all plagued enemies, which can't be countered. And here's what Plague does. The unit loses 5% health when inflicted, and at the start of their turns, is immune to allied dispels, and loses all stacks of plague when healed to full. Okay.
Hmm. Okay, now my question is, what about a self-dispel?
That, reading it, it says at the start of their turns, they're immune to dispels.
Right.
So can they dispel themselves with, let's say... No, they couldn't, because they already said that Commander Luke, when he changes stances, it would not dispel.
Hmm.
Which is okay. During his turn. So yeah, no, that wouldn't. Because I was thinking maybe R2's second Zeta.
I think you count, the character you currently are at the moment counts as an ally always, just the way they use the terminology and other things. Basically you cannot dispel this thing until you're at full health, I think is probably the simplest way to describe it.
Okay.
You lose it, I guess, when you can't dispel other debuffs while you have plague, and plague doesn't go away until you're at full health. I think that's the best way to describe it.
Yeah. All right. We're going to get more into plague after we go through all her abilities, because it's a very powerful ability. So her first special is Dark Magic, and that is pretty straightforward. Deal special damage to all enemies and inflict plague for 3 turns. This attack ignores protection with a 4-turn cooldown. So you have an AoE that inflicts plague. And then her second special, Spirit Blade Assault, is deal special damage to target enemy and call all Night Sister allies to assist. If any enemies are defeated, all Night Sister allies are revived and recover 100% health.
Hmm.
That is a 4-turn cooldown. And then her leader ability, because there's 2 leadership abilities, and this one I really like. Her leader is Night Sister allies have plus 50% potency, plus 30 speed, and then when a Night Sister ally uses a special ability, they inflict plague on the selected target for 3 turns, which can't be evaded. When an enemy resists a detrimental effect, Night Sister allies gain 5% turn meter.
Okay.
And the Zeta is when a Night Sister ally uses a basic ability during their turn, a random defeated Night Sister ally is revived with 50% health and called to assist. Then the revived ally is immediately defeated unless they killed the other enemy. And then the revived ally can't be revived by this effect again until the end of the next turn.
Hmm.
So that's her leadership ability. And then she has 1 unique. And that's at the start of each enemy turn, if they are plagued and Talzin is active, they inflict plague on another random enemy, which can't be evaded or resisted. And the Zeta is when any unit falls below health, Talzin gains 35% turn meter.
Hmm. Okay. One thing, if we can go back to her basic ability real fast. You said her basic ability ignores protection?
No, her first special does. So the AoE special damage. Okay.
That's interesting.
It does that so that you can't. You're not at full health, so you couldn't dispel it, or it wouldn't go away. And then every time you go again, you're gonna lose 5% health, because you lose 5% health the second plague's inflicted, and then you lose it again when your turn starts, and it can't be dispelled until you're healed to full. So it makes sense to kind of get it off. It's a great, and plague is awesome. It sounds like it's gonna be quite fun for Night Sisters and quite awful for everybody else.
Yeah. I mean, yes, and I feel on paper this is extremely strong, but in practice, I don't think it's going to be as powerful as we think.
No. The one thing that caught my attention with the ignore protection is there's a couple, well, if the, I know the community's kind of been mulling it over and they kind of want to, they want to see it happen, is Darth Maul and Savage Opress get a Knight Sister or Knight Brother tag. But because of ignore protection, say if you put like a Sith Assassin in there with Savage and Mother Talzin, well, that's going to be almost, that's going to be at least one or two people already having half health from the get-go with full protection. By the time Savage goes, he's going to kill one person.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I see them giving, I get why they would give Maul and Savage the tag, I just don't see it. They would have done it by now.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, it's unlikely, but it doesn't mean you can't build hybrid teams to potentially like kind of capitalize on characters that like you know, like those guys that would benefit from somebody being at, you know, below 50% health. And the ignoring protection thing is, again, you know, a cool mechanic that they kind of brought in with some of those new Sith characters they haven't revisited, so it's cool to see it brought back here. So, and I also think, like, the fact, it's obvious that, like, if you have, you're going to use her, like, Plague's going to be all over the place with that.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just, it spreads almost like Healthbound does with Nihilus, so you're just constantly, you know, you're just going to constantly have it. I do kind of agree with you a little bit, Ednar, as far as, like, how powerful this will be, because, like, right now in Arena, like, I almost never worry about cleansing my team, like, outside of the fact that, like, Thrawn does it and CLS does it. Like, for the most part, I have debuffs on my guys often.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't really matter or impact anything, because you can just damage your way through a lot of it, so... You know, certainly Night Sisters in and of themselves without having a taunt aren't suddenly going to be super, super viable, but she's got a really cool kit. They did a good job, I think, and they give you some choices, at least with Night Sisters, that might make this team viable, if not in Arena and other modes, so.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, the first thing that popped into my head was... get somebody on your team with healing immunity. That can put healing immunity up.
Oh, yeah.
That's the first thing that popped into my head.
None of them currently do that, so maybe a new Night Sister will.
Maybe a new Night Sister, but I was thinking more along the lines of, you know, somebody, a non-Night Sister. Death Trooper does. Does Grievous? Yeah.
No, he does the health. I gotta look at his special attack.
Oh yeah, no, it does. He does an AOE.
Yeah, it's the same with Death Trooper's grenade.
So an AOE healing immunity with Plague.
Yeah. Kylo does it too, and you can give Kylo retribution so he can spread it on.
Start spreading it around.
Yeah, on counters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Kylo's way better than General Grievous.
Yes, at the current moment, yes, quite better.
I mean, heck, even IG-88 does it.
Yeah, there are quite a few characters who do it, but as far as Night Sisters, not a lot any at all.
We know of. There are still more Night Sisters to come. So,
yep. We kind of talked about this a little bit before the show, but I think definitely Days would be the way to go too.
Yeah, Days.
I feel like Days is just that, like, it's that pain in the butt debuff where it's just like, okay, crap.
Yeah. Now, her second special, the Spirit Blade Assault, where she calls all Night Sister allies to assist, and then if one's defeated, all Night Sister allies are revived.
Mm-hmm.
This seems really good in writing. I don't know if it's good in practice. Like,
in order,
But why? Why?
All right. So for instance, let's say you are down one,
mm-hmm.
and you attack. If you don't kill anyone, then it does nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're down, if you have someone that's dead already, you're already down generally in the match. Yes. So mm-hmm. the likelihood that you're going to be able to kill someone being one person down is not likely. In most scenarios, it's not likely that you're going to be able to kill them with one or with down one character, maybe two.
Yeah, but I think what this – so think about it, though. What this move allows you to do, and you probably want to hold it, right? Because if you do fall behind – to somebody and you lose a character or two or three, all it needs to do is kill somebody and they come back.
Right. And
like
the
and it immediately becomes in the entire game the most powerful revive ability that any character has. Because they come back at 100% health. So almost most of the other revive abilities, like Daka's or now Captain Han's or I can't remember the other big reviver. Jin. Like, they don't necessarily come back at – or even the Scarif Rebel Pathfinder comes back too. But, like, that's based on buffs and things like that. And, like, they guarantee to come back at 100% health. So, like, even if all you had left was Mother Talzin and she killed somebody, they'd all come back.
Yes.
Yeah, then the other team would be like, uh-oh.
Yeah, and now you have a full team back at full health, and most of the Night Sisters have actually have pretty decent health pools. So,
yeah.
It requires you to be down going into your turn to use this.
To your point too, you're going to need to save it, which is almost detrimental to a move that powerful. So it's like you. I think if you're kind of theory crafting on the way you want to use the move, it's one of two ways. Like, you're either going to use it because you need to do big damage to somebody as quickly as possible because it has no damage penalty for the assist, which is big. But the other thing too is, like, do you want to use it early in the match to try to kill someone, or do you want to wait to use it to bring back your characters? Like, it does require a choice, because the cooldown is 4, and that's a pretty decent lengthy cooldown. So
mm-hmm.
You may not get a chance to use it again if the other team goes off and starts to kill some of your characters.
Now, this might just be a wording issue, but it says, so if enemies are defeated, all Night Sister allies are revived and recover 100% health. Is that only the ones that are revived recover 100% health? Or is that everyone?
I think it's just it sounds like a revived one.
It sounds just like the revived ones, but that's a good question.
Like, because there's been wording issues in the past with before these things go live that...
No, never, never.
Yeah, never. Kanan. Not even going to get on that.
Yeah.
But, okay. And what do you guys think of her leadership ability?
I gotta think about it for a second.
I mean, plus 50% potency on someone, all of them. It basically means you don't have to really put potency on anyone.
Yeah, it means you can stack offense or in that with the cross or protection, basically. Yeah.
And you won't need to stack as much speed because everyone gets plus 30 speed.
Or you can continue to stack a ton of speed. Now they're just mega fast.
Yeah, but they
which has always been the number one meta.
But they also already gain turn meter as well. So if if an enemy resists a detrimental effect, they all gain 5% turn meter too.
Well, that just makes them faster.
Yeah. But you want them all to die. Like, that's the point of Night Sisters. Like, you want them to die.
I think it's one of those things. It's weird, right? Because it's not that you want them to die. It's that even when they die, they can still kick your ass, which I think canon-wise is what Night Sisters are all about, right? Because they die, they bring them back. They die, they get brought back again. Like,
yeah, they're witches.
Yeah, so like, I think it makes sense to who they are, and that's what makes them unique in the game, is that even if you eliminate them, that person might come back to haunt you, depending on what happens. So I like the leadership ability. The Zeta is pretty cool with being able to bring back a random ally to be able to do some damage, and also brings them back at 50% health, so if they happen to kill somebody, then they're still in potentially with fighting chance to stay alive. I can just imagine how annoying it would be if you kill Daka and then yet she's still like phantom stunning you constantly throughout the rest of the match. Like there's something here. Like this team's got a chance because they have enough interesting little bits, and we'll get into the rest of the reworks in a second, but there's something here. I think the leader's good. Obviously the unique's good. I think we have to play test a bit, because again, to your point, Ednar, like sometimes these reworks or these new characters look amazing, and then we start to use them and we're like, ah, you know what, actually they still don't beat CLS or whatever. So that might be the case here, but I think some playtesting is probably in order just to see exactly the damage they can do and the modes they're best in.
Mm-hmm.
So, but go ahead, Coleman.
The 50% potency is going to be nice though with that leadership ability.
Oh yeah.
Just because you have Daka trying to stun everybody, and then same with Asajj just trying to put stuns out there, and then what is it, Initiate? Trying to put dots everywhere.
Yeah, even Talia.
Talia puts dots. And then I think, too, what's her name? Initiate does buff immunity, too, I think. So super important. I think they reworked it so that it's not even a chance, like it's guaranteed now. So with that level of potency, like basically you're putting buff immunity on somebody.
Ooh. Yeah, they even did... Is that new with Initiate? Huh. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. We'll get to it. Well, let's move on, because they reworked all of them. So, Coleman, I think you want to start with the next one.
Yep. Kind of being day one player is that a lot of us had old Daka, and we used old Daka in kind of that brief stun meta, where it was like Dooku, Daka, and a couple others that could effectively stun people.
I would have quit the game.
What's crazy is there was this one team that I used to face in Arena that had like weird characters that you would never think were good, like a fully maxed out Greedo at the time and a fully maxed out Daka, and this team and like TIE Fighter, First Order of TIE Fighter pilot. This was a long time ago, obviously, but like that team was such a pain in the ass, because if Daka started going off with her stuns, you lost. Like you lost. You had no chance.
You couldn't do anything.
You couldn't do anything, yeah.
Yeah, so that was always kind of fun. I think, like, the worst one I ever come up on was, like, Dooku Leader, Daka, Cup, and then, I think Cad Bane was in there, and then Stormtrooper Han was the last one. So that was cancerous.
Ah, Cup. Good old Cup.
Yeah, he stuns! So, he stuns.
Yes, yes.
God.
Okay, but to start this out, old Daka. Basic is Insightful Blow still. Deal physical damage to target enemy with a 75% chance, up from 60% chance, to stun them for one turn, and also deal physical damage to random enemy with a 55% chance to stun them for one turn. So it's kind of the same thing we've always known. Her basic is kind of a pain, because it has a very high chance of stunning two people.
Yeah, that just seems more an annoyance than anything.
Yep. Okay, her first special, we're all very familiar with, the Chant of Resurrection. Revive a random defeated Night Sister ally at one health with a 35% chance, doubled on Night Sisters, to revive other defeated allies at one health. All allies recover health equal to 50%, up from 30% of old Daka's max health, cooldown of 4. We all know that the revived ones are still going to get revived at 1 health, but then also all allies recover health equal to 50% now. So the revived ones should be getting 50%, but they'll stay at 1.
Really?
Unless that's, like, it revives it first, and then it applies the heal.
That's how I would assume it would be.
Mm. Okay.
I honestly don't remember what it does now, but I
yeah,
I
know did, it's been so yeah, long.
I did read it as then they would heal up to 50%, but okay. I guess might we'll be see.
Looking at that wrong. Yeah. Yeah, it's just been so long since I've used these.
No, I know. Doc has been gone from like the relevant meta for like a little
relevant anything.
Yeah.
So you have a guaranteed revive with a 70% chance to revive another Night Sister.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. She has a leader ability. Night Sister Elder. Night Sister allies gain 50% up from 10%. Health and 50% up from 40% defense. So Night Sister allies gain 50% health and 50% defense. It's not a bad trade-off.
Yeah, but she's the worst of the Night Sister leaderships. Like she's not going to be the leader.
You're gonna use Talzin or you're gonna use Ventress. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like they did it to did it. It's terrible English. They updated it. Just to update it, but it's never going to get used.
Nope. Her unique serve again. Were you going to say something?
Nope.
Okay. I thought you were. Unique serve again. When another ally is defeated, Daka gains 50% turn meter, and the cooldown of Chant of Resurrection is reduced by 1. When another ally is revived while old Daka is active, the revived ally gains 20% turn meter and gains offense up, defense up for 2 turns. The Zeta upgrade is Doc against 10% max health stacking until the end of battle.
Okay.
I wonder how that works. Just every turn?
No, when they're revived.
Yeah, when they're revived. So she would get, 20% if she revived 2 with her Chant of Resurrection?
Okay.
And that's only if she revives them. So, like, if she were to...
Chant of Resurrection, really, only.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, no, but I think if it's revived...
Through the unique.
If the ally is revived through other ways, she's still going to get that 10%. So if they're revived through, like, the special from Talzin or whatever, like, they're still gonna, she's going to get that 10% max health as well.
Oh, yeah.
So she's going to turn very tanky, and she can heal quite a bit after a while.
Yeah,
you're talking about like if 5 or 6 characters revive in a given match, like that's a ton of health she's gonna have additional.
Yeah. Plus, that'll transfer over to everyone she heals too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing too, right? Because
it's percentage based on her health.
Yeah, their survivability is stupid good because this is where you start to look at things like her lasting in a phase in like dark side territory battles or something like a raid where that's going to continue to stack. You're never going to, she's not going to die, you know? Yeah.
Okay. That's really it for that.
Yeah. I think they did some good changes to her. I still don't think the Zeta is all that great unless you're really concentrating, like you said, Dave, in territory battles.
Yeah.
Because in arena, let's say for arena, that's not that great of a Zeta because by turn 4 or 5, the match is generally over one way or the other.
Yes, it's not worth it in things like that. That looks to be like another mode type Zeta where she becomes like unkillable and then she can just keep reviving people. I think that's where you start to see like the obviously you need to play test it, but like the potential application in raids is that Daka, as long as Daka's alive, the team's alive because she'll just continue to bring them back, and every time she brings them back she gets more health and then can't be killed because she's got like 90k health. So it gets to the point where I think that's why this is really cool. But it's probably its application again is in those types of modes, not in something like arena where there's a whole lot less. Yeah.
Yeah. So far from what I'm reading, if you start to have trouble against these Night Sisters, people like Boba, people like Nihilus, who can like permanently kill somebody and keep them dead, it's going to be vital.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a huge point, which it's a shame. Poor Nihilus, gone from the meta for a second, right back in the
yep. Right back I'm still going to use my Death Trooper and Nihilus to wipe out these things.
Yeah, Death Trooper has that too, right? You can't revive. So yeah.
He's got Death Mark itself, which is going to be huge against Daka.
Yeah, just throw out. I want Boba to come back in the meta too, because that's such a fun character. Like his.
Kid, oh yeah, I love him
his
now.
His kid is so much fun. I used him right after he was reworked. I put him in as leader because he's just so much fun and. You know, hopefully he can find his way back into, because he's really easy to gear 12. Yep. So he's
I'm still waiting on that Bounty Hunter rework. So.
It's coming, hopefully.
Wait, didn't they do? No, they didn't do a Bounty Hunter rework.
Yeah, not a rework.
Just on Boba.
Yeah, oh, okay, see, I thought they changed a couple of them around.
No. They did bug fixes on Cad Bane, but those are bug fixes. So
okay, are they waiting for Hondo to come out to do the full rework?
I am sure they are, yeah.
I was thinking more Embo, but...
Screw Embo.
Yeah, you really need that key character, like that famous bounty hunter, like Hondo. Yeah, definitely.
Exactly.
Totally. Yep. We're totally on board with Hondo. Let's spend the rest of the podcast talking about him.
I like the cut of your jib.
What did you just do? What did you just do? We're going to spend the rest of this 3 hours talking about it.
All right. We'll move on, Dave.
Let's move to Ventress. All right. So Ventress, I think they've kind of posed her as the damage dealer. I think you'll see like some of these changes certainly continue to do that. So, she had a small change to her basic Cruel Strike, which is to deal physical damage to target enemy with a 50%, which is up from 35% chance to stun for one turn. So, again, she's going to be able to stun at a higher percentage with if she's under a Talzin lead with a higher potency on her basic, which is good. And I think her you know, in general, she does decent damage. So that's, you know, a good damage basic with also a good chance to stun. Her first special, Strike Fear, is dispel all buffs on all enemies and Night Sister allies recover 40% health. So that's a change, the Night Sister ally. For each buff dispelled, that enemy has a 50% chance to lose 20%, which is up from 10% turn meter, and Night Sister allies recover 10% up from 9% health. This mm-hmm. attack can't be evaded or resisted. So, again, she's got one of the few all enemy dispels in the game, which just continues to get stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so that was a good change. And special two, endless wrath, deals special damage to all enemies, and this is the change here. Inflict defense down for two turns. Refresh all cooldowns on a finishing blow. This does good damage, and then also just the refresh is the same, but the defense down is probably more that like raid application potentially, because we all know defense down does great, a lot of work in raids. But that's good. And then a cooldown reduction, I think a cooldown is 3 now. It must have been higher before. So then here's where I think her best change was, and that's under the leader. So Night Sister Swiftness. So Night Sister allies have plus 30, which is up from plus 28 speed. They added plus 30 offense, so she didn't used to have plus 30 offense as part of the lead. She does now. And then they also gain 50% turn meter whenever they fall below 100% health, and they have a 50% chance to remove 20% turn meter when they damage an enemy. So pretty much exactly like Zader. This turn meter removal can't be resisted, again, just like Zader. So then from the Zeta upgrade, so this already had a Zeta, so they reworked this ability before when Zeta's, I think, launched, she got this change. So from the Zeta upgrade, there's plus 25% turn meter reduction, plus 10% turn meter reduction. Night Sister's gain 50% turn meter before below 100% health. So you still have to Zeta her leader to get a lot of the benefit that falls within this leadership. So you're not going to get her full leadership ability without using a Zeta, which I guess is, you know, unfortunate. But if you do use it, it still looks to be like a pretty good Zeta and looks to be like a really offense-based Zeta. Like 30% mm-hmm. off is gigantic, especially when we start to get to some of the other characters' reworks like Initiate and Acolyte, who will do a lot of damage. huge. You know, that stacking offense on top of some of the other stacks you'll see is just is crazy. And then also, when you get to her unique, which is Rampage, that was also reworked. So when an ally or enemy is defeated, Asajj gains 35% down from 50% turn meter. So they actually reduced that, which kind of annoyed me just because, like, why would you reduce it? But I guess you're trying to balance, so I understand that.
Yeah, because what they added, I was like, oh, okay, they added a lot.
Yeah. I was like, all right, it makes sense after you get to the end. And gains 15% offense, 15% critical chance, and 5% max health stacking until the end of the encounter. Asajj is plus 15% for each enemy with no buff. So here's the thing when you read that, the first thing is that you have to Zeta it to get a lot of that stuff anyway, because some of that stuff comes from the Zeta as far as 5% offense, 5% critical chance, and then 5% max health until the end of the counter when somebody, an ally or enemy, is defeated. But what's great here is if they continue to revive each other, say in a raid, and that offense and critical chance, she's going to get to the point where she's got an offense level that's stupid high. if a couple characters die in the raid, you know, you're talking about her, you know, getting up to a plus 100% maybe offense with critical chance that maxes out well above 100. So she's critting every time she crits. She's got plus offense. And her max health continues to get higher. So again, to the survivability of this team in a raid, it looks really, really good. This looks like it has some application certainly in arena too, depending on, you know, like to your point, the quickness of the match might impact it, but I thought a very, very well done rework, and she becomes quite the damage dealer. If she wasn't already, she already was, but
now if you are gonna run Night Sisters, who would you really kind of run as a leader? Would you rather run Talzin, or would you rather run Asajj? Oof. As a leader?
Right now it looks like Asajj, but I think you got to mess with both of them. They're both very good. Like, I don't know if there's a – they go back and forth, because I think the assists that you might get, the dead assists you might get, and potential revives from – Talzin's is great. That potency is obviously huge, because that means you don't have to stack potency. But then again, what's nice is they gave them both speed. So at the very bare minimum, you make your characters faster, regardless of who you take. And then you're basically choosing, do I want potency or do I want offense? And then you go from there.
Go ahead, Coleman.
No, you first.
All right, I was going to say, for leadership abilities, I say you go Ventress for territory battles and raids, and then Talzin for everything else. Just because I don't think the potency is good. Like, I don't think Mother Talzin's leadership ability can really be that effective in, I don't know, in a raid, because it requires, like, they can't dispel any debuffs, or like all the plague, I don't think it will be as effective on the tank. The plague is not going to be effective on the tank. It's not going to. So that loses a bunch of the charm of her leadership ability. Whereas Ventress, the 30% offense is going to be huge against the tank.
Yeah.
And vice versa for Arena. Because in Arena, you're not going to be able to stack that offense up as high as you want it to be, because it will be over in 4 or 5 turns.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'd rather go with Asajj just in general, because, I mean, still have Talzin on the team, but because of that, the usefulness of that Spirit Blade Assault, everyone's going to have 30% offense, and since there's no damage penalty, they're just going to hit harder, and that gives you a better chance for you to kill that whoever you're targeting to get those revives back.
Yeah. Now, one thing I will say about speed is, yes, they gave them both speed, but that still doesn't fix that they're slow as hell.
They are. That's true.
Like, Ventress has a base speed of, at maxed out, 104.
Yeah.
Like, that's horrible. Like, add plus 30 speed, go right ahead. Still crap speed.
Yeah, it's not going to be like a Thrawn or a Hermit Yoda speed.
Yeah, you're not going to outspeed teams with this team. I think their play is the debuff thing and survivability.
Yeah, you know? The revive and debuff.
Yeah, they're not. At the end of the day, I think really the addition when they added some of the speed stuff to. I think she already had speed when she was first there, but when they gave her like the plus 15 speed when there's no buffs on enemies, or also adding speed to Talzin, a lot of it is just to try to bring them up to a competitive level. But then their differentiator is not speed. It's more the fact that they can do a lot of other things, whether it be from stacking damage or whether it's from the debuff, you know, aspect of what they'll obviously bring to arena. Like, that's where their differentiator is going to be. So.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So cool. We'll move on. There's still three more Night Sisters to go over.
Yeah.
Yay!
People are Night just Sisters. Fondling over this right now. They're drooling. Listen to this.
Hey, there is a Facebook page dedicated to the Night Sisters.
Yeah. This is the most anybody has ever talked about Night Sisters. So if you like, let's be real. We are giving those Night Sister fans like the best hour of their lives. Right.
Which is more time than they appeared in the Clone Wars.
True.
Yeah, I guess that is true.
So, all right, we'll go to Talia next, the healer everyone had when they first started off, and then before they realized that she was horrible. So Talia, her basic draining strike got very much reworked. So it deals physical damage to target enemy, dealing plus 50% damage if Talia is below full health. Night Sister allies recover health equal to the damage dealt. So it's another one of those. She does more damage if she's below health, and she heals everyone based on how much damage she does.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. And then her first special, and this is the one I actually really like, is it dispels all debuffs on all Night Sister allies. Talia consumes 20% of her max health and gains 15% turn meter for each active Night Sister ally. Other allies recover 50% up from 40% max health and gain 30% turn meter. They added a lot to that ability.
Wow. That kind of makes her a little bit necessary in the Night Sister.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anytime you get a mass, you know, dispel, that's huge.
Yeah, not to mention the added turn meter.
Yeah, like before it just said Talia has a 55% chance to also gain 25% turn meter, and each other ally recovers gains 30%.
Not only that, but her basic now too heals everybody instead of just herself.
Yeah. Yeah, so I love it. The dispelling all debuffs is the kicker on this one.
Yeah.
I'm
sitting here thinking, like, my B account is more prepared than my main account for these Night Sisters.
Your B account is not the greatest B account.
No, but it's got Night Sisters.
Okay, fair enough. So, her other special is deal special damage to target enemy and inflict damage over time, and stagger for 2 turns. If Talia...
How do you say that?
Stagger. Did I pronunciate stagger wrong?
Stagger?
Like stagger?
That's... I'm hearing stagger.
Stagger.
Stagger. Yeah, stagger.
Okay, so this is completely, like, Midwestern talk. That is not a mispronunciation. That is a Midwest thing.
I don't know if, like, just because you live somewhere else, you can butcher words and say that's because I live there.
All right. Milk or... All right, how do you pronounce milk? Milk?
What?
Milk?
Milk.
Milk? Okay.
Milk.
What do you want me to say?
Some people pronounce it milk.
Like with an E?
Yeah, kinda. But that depends on where you live.
I guess. But
yeah.
Stagger, no matter where
stagger.
You live.
Stagger. It's stagger. I'm not changing that shit. Deal with it. You got Zeta out of me, then y'all can deal with it.
Yeah.
She staggers for 2 turns. If Talia has full health, consume 10% of her max health to deal double damage. Otherwise, she immediately uses Draining Strike, which is her basic ability. Okay. So, I have to reread this now, because you guys got my mind all screwed up that I'm pronouncing everything wrong. So, basically, it's... They added if... What? She consumes 10% of her max health to deal double damage. Otherwise, she immediately uses Draining Strike. So, if she's not at max health, she uses her basic?
Yeah. So, then that gives her health back.
Okay. So, she can really... If she's not at 100% health, she deals damage twice.
Yeah. So, she... Yeah. I mean, I think what this does is... I think this move is awesome. Because it... If she is at 100% health, she's going to do one of – this move becomes one of the better damage-dealing moves in the game. Because while right now its damage is right around like 5,500 to 6,000 non-crit, like if it does double damage and crits, that becomes much better, right? You're talking about you're going to be doing over 20,000 crits. And that's pretty legit and – certainly welcomed because she never did that type of damage before. But if she isn't at 100% health, then she'll do the move, which will do its, you know, normal crit damage, but then she'll immediately follow with her basic, which will help her equal, which will help her heal up, equal to the damage dealt. So if she's not at 100%, she's likely after the move. So
yeah, I love this move just based on kind of the mechanic gameplay of it.
Yeah.
So, the thing that I saw from it was if she's not at 100 health, she removes 100% turn meter. Because she attacks, puts stagger on them, and then if she's not at 100% health, she attacks again, which then in turn would remove all their turn meter. Am I wrong?
No, you're completely right. Yeah. All right.
Yep.
I actually thought about that.
So, like, she can basically mind-blowing right there. I was like, wait a second.
After she removes that turn meter, this stagger goes away, right?
Nope, it's there for two turns. Oh, no.
Turns?
Yeah. Once the character is hit with stagger...
It goes away, kind of like expose.
Goes away. So, like...
Yeah. Same thing as exposed, but just takes away turn meter instead of health.
Yeah, there hasn't been too many characters with stagger. Who is stagger? Just Krennic and Zeb?
I think.
Does Sabine have it?
No,
yeah, Sabine has it.
Okay, but that's I hadn't even thought about that aspect of it. So you're talking about now something that you can use to do incredible amounts of damage or heal yourself and remove full turn meter from the other character.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's a great move.
That's what I'm getting out of it, because I've seen it happen with Krennic and Death Trooper. You know, Krennic will use his AoE to inflict stagger on a bunch of people, and then Death Trooper's called to assist, so the stagger is activated right then and there.
Yeah. And if you do have 100% health, you just deal double the damage. Yeah, so it's a win-win either way.
And I'd love to see the amount of damage this attack is capable of.
Well, they didn't change the ability of it, like how much it hits for. So right now it hits for between 5,541 and 6,123.
Okay, that's a fair amount. 12,000 damage, okay.
Yeah, if you double that, you're talking about well over, like, if you've got your 216, like, she's the kind of character you're probably going to stack crit damage on, right, because of the move, and she's going to do, you know, close to 20, like, you know, maybe 22-23-ish K crits with that.
Yeah. Well, not to mention, if you run her with the Saj, you're already getting that damage, that offense up.
I mean. So now you're getting, like, 26, 27, 28K. Yeah.
And she's already got pretty darn good potency. She's at 41% potency, so you know all her stuff is more likely to stick.
Yep. And if she gets full health in the two turns after she's revived from Daka, that's offense up.
Yep. Yeah. And you know what else is key with her right now? That you saw in other characters you don't see with her? She doesn't need a Zeta.
Oh yeah, she doesn't.
This rework is for you in all its glory, just with Omegas.
Oh, that's wow. Great.
That is really good.
I love that.
Yep.
All right, Coleman, I'll let you go over Night Sister Alkalite.
Oh, good. I might be a kind of
it's what you, it's what you she's really wanted fun. To do.
She's been kind of fun using it on my B account, so yeah, I don't mind. Deal physical damage to target enemy. I'm sorry, back that up. Basic strike from the shadows. Deal physical damage to target enemy with a 70% chance. That's up from 55% chance. So, and then gain. So, back up. I'm getting mind blown here. I'm still reeling from that Talia thing. I'm like, holy cow. So deal physical damage to target enemy with 70% chance to gain stealth for 2 turns. And if Night Sister Acolyte already has stealth, she attacks again.
Okay. I mean, it's your run-of-the-mill basic attack that can give stealth. And if there's stealth, they attack twice.
Considering CLS, though, and his counter chance, stealth is huge.
Yeah, and she's likely to get stealth, and then with the two-turn thing, she only has one other move, so she'll always be using this after she initially has stealth. She'll always have stealth then until the end of the battle.
Pretty much.
Yeah. She also hits like a wet noodle.
She doesn't particularly do a ton of damage, no. But I guess if you stack offense...
If you stack offense, like, her basic does about 4,000 damage.
Yeah,
we'll get to that because Coleman will talk about some changes that might help that damage.
Yep. Okay, but before we get to that, her special, Sacrificial Magics, deal special damage to target enemy. On a critical hit, gain 30% turn meter and dispel all debuffs on a random Night Sister ally. So that just adds to the whole debuff thing coming from, or dispel thing coming from Talia. So, and dispel all debuffs on random Night Sister ally. This attack gains 20% critical damage for each active Night Sister ally and each debuffed enemy. On a finishing blow, reduce the cooldown of this ability by 1. Its cooldown is 3. So that can hit.
I mean, you have the ability to, in essence, getting up to what? 200 or 180%?
Yeah, 200%
critical damage on top of if you already stacked. This makes her the highest possible percentage of crit damage, right? I think maybe outside of... I guess the never-ending stacking ability that Farmer Luke has, in the game. Like, that's 200% on top of what you could stack if you were to mod her, right, at 216. Like, you're talking about 416% critical damage on the special, which
does, like, 1,000,
11K
you're
going to
dispel everybody or debuff everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, this is... I mean, she's going to hit like a truck with this.
Yeah.
So, and she has good speed, so you don't need to go that crazy with speed as much as the rest.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
But, and her special, I mean, it only hits for 5,000. But at 400 and some odd percent crit damage... I don't think it matters what your base damage is.
And some offense mods and the offense up from Massage. Who knows?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. She can hit like a truck.
Yep.
Yeah. You're going to have crits in the 40K range, 50K range.
Yep.
Potentially there.
So here's the kicker. Her unique thrill of victory. Night Sister Acolyte has... plus 25% up from 15% critical chance and recovers 20% health on each critical hit. While Night Sister Acolyte has stealth, she has plus 50% offense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Screw that. She's going to hit. She's going to hit.
So, plus 80% offense.
Yeah.
With 400 and what's... 416 crit damage, odd amount of crit damage,
25% increased crit chance on what top of whatever she has right now.
So is this basically, it's essentially a one-shot ability.
It might just be.
Yeah, I mean, if we're thinking about the math the correct way, which I'm sure somebody will comment to say that we aren't, but to me it looks...
I really hope they do. Yeah, I'm curious to figure this out.
Yeah, to me it looks like it's a... She's a character that like a lot of people don't have, because you have to farm her actively in Cantina on a node. So like a lot of people were just like, oh, Knights of Dracolite, screw that. Like everyone has Initiate just because you could use your currency on it and you may as well just 7-star her. Mm-hmm. But like, most people don't have Acolyte. I don't have Acolyte. Nope, she's like 5-star.
I got her at 6.5.
Yeah, I have her at unlocked.
She's probably going like right once I finish farming Han, she's going next because she looks like, it looks like you have to balance what you want to do. Like if you want to go control ability, you probably leave Daka in the team. But if you want to go crazy damage, you probably take Daka out and then put the rest of them in with Talzin. And I think she's probably the swing character, because we'll get into Initiate. I think you have to have Initiate, but Acolyte is that they basically took a character who was completely useless.
The joke of everything.
Yeah, she was top five, bottom five characters in this game.
And they made her cup.
Literally. And they made her so she might be not only viable, but actually pretty darn good.
Yeah, pretty deadly.
Yeah.
I do not look forward to taking a hit from her.
No. No.
No.
So, Dave, do you want to go over the last one, since you did say it? You think my sister Initiate is vital?
I do. So, anyway, so for Initiate, her basic slice open, deal physical damage to target enemy and inflict damage over time for 3 turns. On a critical hit, inflict damage over time for 3 turns. So, I just read this as they added an additional damage over time. So, she adds damage over time regardless of it crits, and if it crits, it's another one. So potential for 2 damage over times, which is nice, but nothing crazy. I don't think this is where it gets to be.
That's not game changing.
No.
Special.
Maybe with Plague.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's nice about the damage over time is that, yeah, you're right. It'll keep them from getting to full health.
Yeah, that's the way I see it.
Yeah, totally. So then her other special, or her first special, Cut Down. All allies gain critical chance up for 3 turns. So that's huge, right? Now you're getting everyone else. She's basically Leia.
Yeah, she's giving Acolyte that extra crit chance.
After that, so she gets the critical chance up for the turn. Then she deals physical damage to the target enemy. So, and this move does good damage.
Yes, like right it does. Now,
it does, at its max non-crit, it does about like 8,300 damage. So you're talking about this move to be quite good. Plus, it'll have crit chance up, so the odds of a crit are very, very good. That was a nice little add there. So then her second special, Severing Strike. Deal physical damage to target enemy and inflict buff immunity for 2 turns. So before, it was a 75% chance to inflict. They've just upped that to it will inflict it. So assuming her potency is high enough to not have it be resisted, she'll inflict buff immunity, which is certainly helpful for dealing with things like GK. Absolutely. So that her unique Night Sister Retaliation... and this is where I think it's awesome, because she didn't have this. This didn't exist at all before.
It's a brand new ability.
Did not have a unique. This entire unique is new. And it's one of the better things they changed about the entire faction. So if Night Sister Initiate has full health, she has 100% counter chance. Otherwise, she has 100% offense. And then I think you have to Zeta that to get to get to that point, which isn't great, but because you have to use a Zeta and you might not want to. But I think the 100% counter chance is awesome, because that's, you know, she can help spread on any AoEs damage over times, which will help keep them from full health, which will help keep them from being able to get rid of plague. And then if she doesn't have that, 100% offense is stupid good for somebody that already does decent damage. Like, she wasn't crappy from a damage perspective before. Like, she did decent damage. She was just useless because who wants to use a Night Sister? But she has, you know, a pretty legit health pool unmodded of 7K. But she's I think what you get from her is someone who deals a lot of damage, who's relatively tanky, and now can help make the rest of the team work because of the damage over time aspect that Coleman brought up, and being able to keep them from 100% health. And then the fact that if that's not the case, that not the case, she can't counter, that she's just going to do crazy damage with 100% offense. That again might be stacking on top of Ventress's leadership or something like that. So I think she's another, you might have to choose between the two, but like, I think some of what she brings is a little bit more exciting to me, because I think you need that buff immunity to deal with tanks. So being able to do buff immunity, which, you know, not too many characters do, and is a super important move, you know, it's super helpful. So I like the rework. That new unique is very, very good.
One thing I will add with her is something that a lot of people don't really take into effect nowadays, especially with her and Ventress, is her health steal percentage is crazy high. Like, she's got 30%.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, Ventress is 55%.
Does that need gold gear to get to the 30?
Probably.
Like, she's got that additional one, that piece that gives you the extra little bit.
Yeah, it more than likely. I'm just looking right now.
Yep. She needs the multi-tool to get plus 5%. But even without that, that means she has plus 25, which is very, very good.
Yeah, so she's going to be, she's already got a crazy health pool. Like, I was just looking at her. She has more health and protection unmodded than Finn, who's my tank on my resistance team. Like, and she has the health steal like this, so she's going to be hard to take down.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's important to say with her is that, you know, if you look at the characters that have more health than her, none of them are usable in arena.
Nope.
Like, you've got Gamorrean Guard, Magna Guard, Zeb, Hothrable Soldier, Scarverable Pathfinder, and Clone Wars Chewbacca are the only characters with 35k plus health.
Yeah, and she's true.
So, like that's pretty cool in that she's got all of that health. And when you think about all of the health healing abilities that the Night Sisters have, like, she's going to be able to regenerate that health pretty high. Like, even once your protection's gone, she's going to be able to heal herself up. Like, you know, her protection is you know, very, very good, but there's plenty of characters that have more than that. But her health, the fact that you can regenerate that, and that a lot of the character abilities within the faction regenerate health, she's going to be tough to kill, and she does a ton of damage. So she's got it. It's kind of crazy that we're sitting here talking about Night Sisters potentially being very good.
It's weird.
Weird. It makes me slightly uncomfortable, but I'm also excited about it because I've been looking for a new faction to work on, and they might just be the one that I turn to.
Well, that's the thing that with the Night Sisters is you don't have to work that hard on them.
Right. No. Right.
Like, yep. They're crazy easy to farm. Like, both Talia's in like 7 different nodes between Cantina and hard nodes. Night Sister Initiate, or Night Sister Alkalite, is an 8 energy Cantina node. One's in Galactic War, one's in Cantina Shipments, one's in, is one in Arena? Yeah, Ventress is in Arena Shipments. So, like, they're all very easily farmable. So this is totally a team you could get up real quick.
And their gear's not that bad because I had to go look at it. And Ventress and Daka and Talia, not terrible from a gear perspective. I think Acolyte isn't even that bad. I think the big issue is Initiate needs a ton of Carbonis. But, of course. But the rest of them... and the thing, the reason why she needs a ton of Carbonis is she comes from a time where Carbonis used to tie to tanks, if you guys remember. That's not the case anymore, but Carbonis used to, like a year ago, tie mostly to tank characters, and she's pretty tanky, so she needed a ton. But the rest of them are it's pretty doable without going crazy on gear. So, you know, who knows what Mother Talzin will need, but you don't need to like invest a ton to get this team to like, you know, gear 10, gear 11 to be able to have fun with them. So that should be exciting for most players.
Yeah, like I'm looking right
now. Even Zeta based, really.
Yeah, no.
A lot. They're not Zeta like dependent.
No, not at all. Not at all. Yeah.
I'm just looking at Ventress right now cuz she's the big damage dealer, and the one most people probably have up there higher than most, because she was coming up, she was real good, and then like you took her away, but from gear 9 to 10 she requires a green piece and two blues from 9 to 10. Yeah. I'm like,
yeah, she's obnoxious. She's almost obnoxiously easy to gear.
Like, I geared all of them on my main account to gear 8 with just stuff I had. I didn't have to farm anything. Like, none of those, oh, I need two of these or one of these annoying pieces. It was literally just all stuff I had lying around, and I got them all to gear 8. So, yeah, they're crazy easy to gear.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, like, I'm sitting right now with the gear to take Ventress to gear 12 if I want to.
In the meantime, I'm not even looking at that stuff right now, so I should probably look. let me see.
Well, now...
The Night Sisters. Yeah. I got all of them. Okay. That's not bad. I can get them all up to probably gear 7, gear 8.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's good. The most work you're going to put into them getting them up to gear 8 or 9 is leveling their abilities.
That's not even that bad.
Yeah, like getting the purple pieces together to upgrade all their abilities is probably going to be the most annoying thing you have to do.
Really?
Yeah, they're that easy to farm. I mean.
Do you have a problem with purple pieces?
Yes and no. I tend to save up to like 100 or so, and then I'm like, I really want to get these two characters up, so then I use all of them on those two characters.
What?
Yeah, I'm weird. But you want to know what I never have problems with? Omegas.
What? I have problems with Omegas.
But I never have problems with Omegas. I think I have over 70 right now.
I have over 1,100 purples.
You've also been playing the game way longer than me.
Yeah, that's true, too.
But, so, now, we'll get on to, like, they haven't announced what kind of event is going to be coming out for this, but I can't see it being a legendary event. Because, well, for starters, we already had way too many legendary events. But they also announced that there is going to be more... They announced there's going to be several new Night Sister characters. Which leads me to believe that, well, we only got one new one, so we're going to get more. So I'm thinking it's going to be a marquee event, which we haven't seen in a while, since the Ewoks came around, if I'm not mistaken. And I could see, you know, having two or three...
Han and Chewbacca.
Oh, Han and Chew. I keep forgetting about them, because they just kind of came out of nowhere for no reason.
Yeah.
Not tied to anything, but I could see a marquee event for these people where you need the five Night Sisters to unlock kind of thing.
Well, marquee events are really just use what you got.
Mm-hmm. Well, you need the five, don't you?
No, marquee events are you can use your entire roster.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who you use.
Oh, that's... maybe not then, because I can't imagine them bringing on these new Night Sisters and not requiring you to have the Night Sisters.
No, that's why I think a lot of people are speculating you'll need Separatists to get her.
I can see either Separatist or Jedi.
Jedi, I could see.
Because if you remember in the Clone Wars, the very last time you see Talzin, it's actually Mace and Jar Jar.
Don't bring up that word. Mace. We don't use the double J on this podcast.
Oh.
That's so blasphemy.
I can kind of see both of them playing into effect, but I definitely see Separatist being the bigger possibility.
Yeah. I mean, I keep wanting a Separatist rework or Separatist to be bigger. I could see them. I could see them requiring Separatist or Jedi.
Yeah.
I mean, heck, even Savage and Darth Maul might even play some kind of factor into all this. Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, and it's been a while since I've watched the episodes of Clone Wars with the Night Sisters in them, for obvious reasons. But didn't they kind of turn on the Night Sisters a little? Like, they kind of teamed up? And didn't they hunt them down? Or am I losing my mind?
You're kind of losing your mind. It was Dooku that hunted them down. Okay. But Maul and Savage went off and did their own little thing, and Mother Talzin just kind of helped them along the way.
Okay. Ah, like I said, it's been years since I've seen willingly watch those episodes.
Maybe I'll go rewatch that again. I don't know.
I'm rewatching all of the Clone Wars again, so yeah, like, I think I'm on season 2 right now, so that's pre Night Sisters.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, what kind of event do you guys want to see?
I mean, Legendary would be nice. I like Legendaries.
Then who would we use? Would you say Separatists?
Yeah, they haven't used that faction yet, and there's not a ton of characters there, so it makes it somewhat exclusive, but it also gives them what they want as far as they give the community enough characters to choose from that they don't get mad that it's like 5 characters only, but then it's also only, I think there's 10 Separatists right now in the game, so it's still somewhat exclusive in that, you know, you've got choices, but you still are going to have some of those characters geared up, and almost none of them have been meta-relevant for a year. So you're like, you know, outside of like Dooku being used in B2 at times, like most of them have been, you know, woefully underused, so... it kind of fits what CG likes to do or EA likes to do as far as, like, pick a faction that hasn't been used yet, that people are going to need to panic farm to get it in time. Like, it just – a lot of things seem to say, hey, this makes a lot of – because, listen, if they chose the 5 – if they chose, like, hey, to get her, you needed the 5 Night Sisters, like, people would probably be pissed off because it's only 5 characters. But then also – like you said, it's not that hard to get them. So, like,
it's not like
people could probably panic farm them in time, and then CG sees no benefit or EA sees no benefit from that. So,
well, we all know how they like to make us panic farm,
right? So that's why I think Separatists, you know, make the most sense, because a lot of them have like more costly nodes or are more rarely farmable, or you have to use current, like, you know, some people like Grievous are very hard to get. Others are easier, but then you're going to have to gear them, and they're characters that really aren't good anywhere else yet. So now you're gearing characters that aren't good yet. Like, it fits too many of like the perfect model factors that you've seen from these events that it's hard to say it's going to be something else. But thankfully, I have 5 gear 10 Separatists, so I would be okay with them choosing that as the faction. But I understand, like, a lot of other people would probably be upset. But to me, that's what the signs point to, but I could totally be
wrong. I mean, I would say the only other thing is they've never really had you for legendaries. It's always been, like, dark side versus light side. Outside of Yoda, which is the odd one out because that was the whole first Legend. Yeah, their test one. It's always been dark side versus light side. So, I mean, I could see more of a Jedi over Separatist if it is a legendary event, just for that aspect. But
that's a good point.
I mean, because then you'd be reusing a Night Sister to obtain a Night Sister.
Yeah. At the same time, though, I'm almost curious, because a lot of the times this is like, okay, Jedi for Jedi, Yoda is off the table, he's the exception. But then you have, for Palpatine, it requires Rebels, and Rebels defeated the Empire and Palpatine. It's painful as for me to say. And then, who was the next one? I forget now.
Wasn't the next one R2?
Was it R2?
I think it was. I think R2 started the legendary spree.
Okay.
Because it went R2, Thrawn, BB-8.
Yes, because Empire was trying to capture R2, so that makes sense there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Thrawn with Phoenix. Phoenix is thwarted Thrawn like once or twice already, so that makes sense there. So it only makes sense that Separatist would be, if it is a legendary, if it is, because Separatists were the ones who wiped out the Night Sisters, essentially.
The only other thing I will add to that is, how are they going to introduce the other two? Or the other characters, too.
Yeah, and that was your biggest point, and that's what got me thinking, like, okay, maybe it probably is a marquee.
So, but yeah. I will ask one final question, and then we will be done with Night Sisters and the rework. of the six Night Sisters, mm-hmm. if you're starting a team, which one are you leaving out? We'll start with you, Coleman.
Oh, God, which one of the ones? I would probably leave out, most likely Daka, I think.
Okay. And what about you, Dave?
Well, for who I'd have quickest, so two things. One, I looked at Acolyte's gear. She might be the easiest character to gear in the entire game, outside of the fact she needs a ton of those MK3 detonators. So just keep that in mind. She seems like super easy to gear. It might end up being Initiate in the beginning, only because out of all of them, we don't know what Talzin's gear is like yet. I'm sure it'll be 790 million Carbonis, but Initiate needs a ton of Carbonis, so she's going to take a long time to gear up to gear, you know, 11 or 12 regardless. So realistically, just from like a gear standpoint, she's probably the one you're going to have to run without, because it's going to take people a long time to save up those Carbonis. But I think from a strategic perspective, the one you're probably best leaving out might, to Coleman's point, might actually end up being Daka, just because while she brings a ton of stuff from a survivability standpoint with the revives and the stuns, I still feel like Arena ends up living too much on damage, and she just doesn't bring any. So with the rest of them, you still have the revive ability, but you also bring a ton of damage, and that may end up being the most important thing. I love Daka, but she doesn't. You're never going to kill anybody with her, and you can never
leave Acolyte out now.
No,
I don't think you can. It's going to be hard because of the damage she can do. Yeah, it's going to be super hard. I think originally Acolyte was going to be my answer, but as I read through these again today, like, I think you got to keep her in there. That stacking crit damage is crazy.
It's not even stacking. It's just like all at once.
You just have it, but I mean, like, it stacks on each other. Like,
oh yeah,
for each active Night Sister and debuffed enemy. But yeah, no. I mean, I think it ends up being Daka and Arena. I think if you're going to go for other modes, Daka might work her way back in there, because stun's super helpful in like things like territory battles, whenever the dark side one comes out, and sometimes I guess in. It's helpful in some raids too. So, but yeah, I would say Daka too.
Okay, I mean, I would agree with you all with Daka. That's the one I would leave out personally, because you have other ways of reviving people. But
yeah,
we have gone on for about an hour and a half on flipping Night Sisters.
They needed it. They deserved it. They
yep, it's gonna get
I wouldn't say they deserve it.
Oh, that was it. No one has talked about Night Sisters for the entire time the game has been out. So
that Facebook page is gonna go nuts over this.
Well, it probably already has.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I guess there's not really much else for us to go over. Do you guys have any final thoughts?
No, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing what these Night Sisters look like in action. I know there's, you know, probably next pod we'll get into some of the more like longer reaching updates that they talked about. Like the guild versus guild stuff and the dark side territory battles, which seems to be coming. I mean, who knows how long those are going to be, but, you know, I'm looking forward to a lot of this stuff. I do hope though, I think at the end of the day, if there's like one final thought is that I hope, you know, EA and CG look long and hard at what happened this week and the community response to McMole and, you know, we're a passionate community. We criticize this game because we love it. We mm-hmm. criticize this game because we want it to be better. If we didn't care about this game, certainly none of us would sit here for an hour and a half to talk about it.
No, there wouldn't be multiple podcasts. Yeah. There wouldn't be anything.
I think it's, you know, people care about this game. They've invested a ton of time in the game. They've invested a ton of money in the game. They want it to be good. They want it to last forever because we found camaraderie with our guilds. We found a really cool community. So just, you know, if I was CG or EA, you know, I would be really careful about the way you treat the community because at the end of the day, this is who's going to play this game. This is who might play your next game.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be careful with how you treat people. So that would be the one thing I'd kind of want to leave. Not only the people that listen to this, but if CG or EA listen to it, that's what I'd want them to hear too.
Coleman, any final thoughts?
I've got to agree with Dave on this. You know, exact same thing. This community is huge. It's one of the best communities I've ever been around as far as gaming wise. It amazes me every day when I look on forums, the official forums, Reddit, everywhere else. Just walking around, even seeing people play this game, it's huge. I love this game. It's a great game. I only want to see it improve. I only want to see it get better. It's one of my favorite games, probably now of all time. It's got to be what my personal opinion. So all I want to do is I want to see it improve, get better, and, you know, kind of go back to the way it was, kind of get away from this territory battle guild versus guild thing. And spend a little time working on the inner mechanics of, like, of kind of what McMull was saying, the ticket counter and the... all the other stuff that makes the game tick. Kind of spend some time working on that stuff instead of just new content. And I'm sure people will understand and people will be happy that you're actually working on it.
Yeah. I agree with both of your sentiments completely, so I won't rehash it. So I think that will do it for this episode. You know, all I can say is keep on trucking. Is that still a phrase?
Yeah, now it is.
Keep on trucking.
It can be.
Yeah,
in Wisconsin, it's a phase.
Well, that's...
I hope the Packers fans keep on trucking after today.
Well, all right. We're going to get two to three more wins this year, and I'm going to be happy.
Yeah.
Keep the McMole support trucking. Let's go.
Keep the McMole support trucking. I can't believe I just used that phrase. Okay.
It's
all good. So that will do it for this episode. If any of you have any questions you want us to answer, and we're more than happy to answer any of these, please email us at RebelForceAlliancePodcast@gmail.com or reach us out on Twitter page at RFA Podcast. Or you can reach us on Discord. We're all over on Discord. As always, any iTunes reviews would be much appreciated. Until next time, you know, keep on trucking.
Keep on trucking.
Keep on trucking.